Warning: this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
At Vuse, we're vapor done right. Always simple, always in your pocket. So you can focus on what really matters, like getting back to your podcast. Find out more at Vuse.com. That's Vuse.com.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026 RJRVC.
Hello and welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Today, we're talking with Lisa Ertz, mom of Philadelphia Eagles tight end Zach Ertz, whose game-winning touchdown catch sealed the very first ever Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2018. Unforgettable Super Bowl 52. That was wonderful for that city. Anyway, though it has been a trying year for the Philadelphia Eagles, and frankly, for all of us, honestly, 2020 has really been on one. Zach has been out on injury. Now in his eighth season, his presence is very much missed on the field. But today we learn more about what fuels his hard work, drive, and determination. And that all starts with his mom. A single mother of four boys, Lisa's unconditional love and devotion to her sons has truly been the foundation of their success, both on and off the field. Lisa, welcome. I just want to go on record here and say how fantastic Lisa looks. You guys can't see her. I can see her. She looks absolutely gorgeous. Her hair looks like she's about to hit a Sassoon commercial. And she looks amazing. I look like I just pulled myself off the sidewalk and sat here. So welcome, Lisa. What's your hair secret, Lisa? Share.
There is no secret, I promise. Remember, as I said, I'm 3 hours ahead of you. So a couple Zoom meetings in, when people say, let's just get on a call, I'm like, oh, thank God.
You know, So stressful. Well, you know, let's talk about you and your sons, though. You are a mother of four sons. We got Zach, we got Nick, we got Jackson, we got Shane. What was that like, you know, raising four boys, like four of them?
It was exhausting and amazing. And sometimes I look back and I'm like, how did I ever do that? But I think you just kind of go forward every day. And it was more fun than anything else, honestly.
I think with four boys, the goal is just to keep them out of the house so you have food in the house, right? Just go outside till it's dark. Come back in when it's
dark. I mean, I honestly thought you were going to say the goal is to keep them alive, which was really what I was worried about. Okay, I want them to stay alive until they're on their own. And of course, no, of course. And I want them to be good men, right? And then, can I please keep the refrigerator and the, you know, full and the kitchen clean for more than 5 minutes? That was a goal too.
So tell me, at what age did Zach start playing football?
So he played in seventh grade in a, you know, Pop Warner type tackle football program. And it was his first year and he was too big to play for that age group. So he and a friend had to lose weight in order to play. And he really wanted to do this.
Was he one of those kids who like had to wear the trash bag to run around to lose the weight?
Yeah. I can't remember if it was Zach or his friend Chris, but one of them either only ate carrots and one of them only ate broccoli.
Oh no.
And they like made their weight to play. And I looked at both of them. I took them both to dinner, like for their favorite kind of dinner in California where we lived in Danville. And I looked at them and I was like, wow, his face looks orange and his face looks green. because that's all they ate for, I don't know, forever. And then the funny thing is he didn't like it. So in eighth grade, when the registration came to sign up again, he tore up the registration and he was like, I don't like football. They had him on the offensive line. So he didn't play. And then when he went to high school, I actually encouraged him to play, you know, and in today's world, no mother is saying to their kid, I think you should go out there and get your bell rung, you know, 500 times a week. But I was a single mom at that point. He went to a really big high school and I wanted him to make friends. Like I think about that now and I'm like, okay, that was so weird. But at the time, you know, he was the oldest and I knew that football is really good for routine. And the school you went to got them out of bed at like 7:30 in the morning for workouts every day during the summer. And I thought, okay, that's good. Cause you know, I had this total fear that they were going to get into trouble. So it was like, I don't care what you do during high school, but you're not going to sit at the park, you know, and get into trouble. So if it's the debate club or the chess club or the prayer club, I don't care, but do something constructive. And so he went into freshman football and really loved it in high school. I mean, I don't know about Eli, but Zachary says all the time, like high school football was the greatest time in his life. You know, it just was so fun.
Like Eli started playing in middle school, like sixth grade. So it was just one of those things where he, you know, he took to it and he fell in love with it. You know, he would watch games from 50 years ago. Like he was like a student of the, I used to call him a football nerd because he knew everyone that had ever won a Super Bowl. Everyone, like he just knew all, he was like a little stat guy. But tell me, how was it though, being a single mother at that time of four?
It was really challenging. You know, we had a lot of challenges. Zachary was, you know, it affects kids in a different way. Obviously each kid had a different journey with, you know, kind of waking up and finding out that, you know, your parents are not going to stay together for your life. Like, you know, they all went through different stuff. And then we had like a string of really bad injuries, all due to sports. My son Shane was a senior, well, he was a junior in high school at a basketball tournament in Reno and suffered a terrible concussion. His legs were taken out from underneath him, ended up in the Reno hospital and ICU for 3 days, a lot of side effects to that concussion, really difficult. And then rehabbed, came back and was playing in his senior home opener and was knocked out again. And that was it for a while. And it just, you know, it was a really, really difficult time. And my son, Nick, had two massive back surgeries his freshman and sophomore year in high school due to a fluky football injury that was really just awful. And we just went through a lot. There was a 5-year period where if people asked me how I was, I wanted to like really edit the response because there was so much that I could have just dumped on people. And it got to the point where I was like, what is wrong? Like we have this horrible massive cloud. And then Zachary, you know, really took to football. He loved college basketball, or he thought he was going to play college basketball, but a mentor who had played for the 49ers, who was just a local hero, Brent Jones, had some time and volunteered to coach and just took, Zach took to him. And Zachary needed a mentor. He needed a really strong man in his life at that time. And Brent came in and just said, like, if you listen to me and you are focused, I could make you an NFL tight end. You know, Zach came home and said, Mom, you're never going to believe what Mr. Jones said. And I said, like, sure. I mean, not that I would ever knock their dreams, but I was like, what?
You were just trying to keep them alive at this point.
Right. Alive and fed. Yes. Don't forget.
Yeah.
So, you know, he did it and he helped him. He sent his tape to the head coach at Stanford who had just come into the Stanford program. And Zach desperately wanted to play at UCLA, but I mean, that I always tell this story. I said, if you get into Stanford, you're going to Stanford.
Point blank and period.
You know, it's funny because I literally said to him, it's not like you're going to play in the NFL.
Wow.
I mean, I said, you're going to go and get the best degree you can that I would never be able to afford myself. You know, they were 1-11 when he was being recruited. 1-11. And Jim Harbaugh had come in from, I believe he was at San Diego or USD prior to that, and turned the program around. And when Zachary was there, they went to the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and really had an amazing experience. And I have lived to like bite my tongue about that because I'm like, wow, who, I don't know, you know.
But you know what? I don't think you were killing his dream. I think any mom and with a lot of moms I've spoken to, if you're doing it right, the goal has never been the NFL. The goal has been you join sports to be a part of a team, to learn skills, teamwork, leadership.
Absolutely.
You know, and the process, you know, and be constructive. Because if you worry about the NFL, then you're missing the process because you can't control the results. But if you prepare and you give it all you have, the results take care of themselves. So the goal has never been the NFL. I never looked at Eli in middle school, but like, oh my God, you're going to be in the NFL. You know, I'm just like, he's doing something he loves.
You know, Annie, you're so right. And I think one of the things that parents I see now sort of lose sight of is, you know, this whole, you know, like the NFL or the MLB or the NBA. And it's like, no. It might happen. The chances are so small. But even if it does happen, you know, I believe it is the, it's kind of the process of like your kid being in the right place at the right time in some situations, you know, fitting a scheme, staying healthy.
You know, it's so funny. I was talking to Gwen Jenkins recently, Malcolm Jenkins' mother, and she was saying how when Malcolm was at Ohio State, he got to play because the kid in front of him couldn't go out because he lost his contacts. So the kid couldn't find his contacts. Malcolm goes there, kills it, and that's the story. You know, so you just can't control any of it.
You don't know. Zachary went to Stanford and redshirted his freshman year. And I mean, literally, I have a picture somewhere of him standing on the sidelines at every single game with his gloves on, his helmet on. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Even though I've redshirted and I'm like, I'm a red shirt, I'm still ready to go. And to me, that picture kind of epitomizes sort of how our young athletes have to attack this, right? Like, I'm always ready. And if my time comes, you know,
I'll be ready.
And that I someday, like, you know, when we do more of this mom stuff, which I think is so important, especially for support for each other, I'm going to find that picture, because I do think that younger mothers would benefit from seeing, like, this is not about the NFL. This is not about college football. It's about, like, what is your experience today with your high school teammates? Or what is your experience today with your college teammates?
And it's also about helping another human grow into his God-given abilities, his God-given purpose. That's the goal. If it's NFL, great. If it's a school teacher, great. If it's an accountant, if it's a garbage man, great. It's not about all that stuff. It's about the process of becoming who you were created to be. More from Lisa in just a minute, but first, I want to give big props to Sakara for continuing to support this show. Thank you guys so much. From one mama to another, I know just how hard it can be to find a clean prenatal supplement that is both pure and potent. The lady founders of Sakura discovered that too when they became pregnant at the same time. So guess what? They decided to make one. Sakura is a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you put in your body. They create delicious chef-curated meals that put a focus on nutrition. Along with their meals, they also have effective supplements like their prenatal, which is a daily supplement pack containing an algae omega, superfood multi, super greens, probiotic, and macro minerals designed to support your entire pregnancy journey. Support your health with Sakura's meal delivery and prenatal vitamins and get the nutrients you and your baby deserve. And right now, Sakura is offering our listeners 20% off their first order of prenatal when they go to Sakura.com/wrap or enter code WRAP at checkout. That's Sakura, Sakara.com/wrap to get 20% off your first order. Don't say I don't give you anything. You are the first ever tight end mom that I am interviewing. So I always say to my, because tight end is one of those weird positions, because in Pop Warner, there is no tight end, right?
Right, right.
How does one grow to be a tight end? How does that happen? It's like the cross. I always look at tight ends as the cross between a wide receiver and a running back, right?
Right, right.
How does Zach find that?
You know, if you asked him, he would say it was all the chocolate chip pancakes he ate when he was a younger kid. I believe, you know, in his case, like, he's 6'5", right? And he didn't want to be on the line and he didn't want to play defense. And he loved catching the ball, but he's not a prototypical wide receiver, you know? He loves, you know, being a receiver, and he loves, you know, there's a lot of different aspects of the game as a tight end that I think you get, you know, as a position where you're kind of called on to do more than one thing. So it's really perfect for him. He loves it. You know, it's fun to watch mostly when I'm not going like this through like my famous finger goggles that I talk about.
So you talked earlier about the injuries that your sons, a lot of, you know, they suffered. And I think, and I want to talk to you about this campaign for player safety where you team up with Zero One Helmet. Tell me about Zero One Helmet and why did you feel the need to get involved with that?
So that actually, in a nutshell, was a company that came out with the first piece of true medical technology in the form of a football helmet. It was developed by, you know, a neurologist in Seattle. It was developed by an engineer. Together, they built this helmet that had an absorbable outer layer and then columns inside the helmet that disperse the energy of each of the hits. You know, I'm sure you hearing that as a mom, you're like, you know, we all are. We're like, oh my God, I literally.
You're going to play badminton now, Johnny. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. The first time I saw this helmet, I literally cried because I was so happy that, you know, Zach would have this kind of protection, that like future generations would have this kind of protection, that really and truly moms who are afraid for their kids to play would no longer be as afraid. Because when your young son looks at you and says, this is what I want to do, maybe it's not our first choice. It is more dangerous than potentially another sport, but we want to make our dreams come true for our kids, right? So I see this piece of football equipment and I'm like, this is amazing. I talked them into hiring me, and then I talked them into letting me start a foundation for them, because the helmet was so expensive that it really spoke very much against my own personal principles, which is kids have to have access to the same safe equipment.
Because everyone's child deserves to be safe playing the sport equally.
Exactly. And every mother deserves to feel like their child is safe, regardless of the cost, and the same amount of safety.
Yeah. So after high school, Zach goes to Stanford, which must have been like, wow, like it's amazing. And he's at Stanford and he meets this beautiful young lady at a baseball game. Tell me about when he called you. Tell me about the first time he called you and told you, Mom, I met the girl. Not a girl, I met the girl.
He did too. So I knew he met her and I knew they were spending some time together. I didn't really know how adorable and perfect and amazing those two were until she went to an international competition and he came home to train for the combine in 2013. And I heard this noise of stairs and it was Zach laughing so hard. And I could hear this girl laughing so hard. And I was like, is that Zach? And like, is it a TV? But I knocked on the door and Zach was on, like we're doing, but it wasn't called Zoom then. I guess it was just like, you know, Skype. And, they were laughing their heads off. And I walked out and I said, well, tell her I said hi. I hadn't met her yet. Tell her I said hi. And I walked out of the door and I went like, that's his person. That is his person. He needs someone who totally gets him and that he can get her life. And, you know, she was, when they met each other, she had no idea who he was. He had no idea who she was. He had no idea that she played soccer at Santa Clara and that she would then go on to be one of the best soccer players in the world.
Yes, she is a two-time FIFA World Cup champion and an Olympian. Julie Ertz, ladies and gentlemen, put some respect on her name, okay?
Yeah. She's a damn badass, I'm telling you, Annie. And as you know, as a mother of a son, we have these kids for a short amount of time. And it's a borrowed time situation. You know rationally and logically that we're raising them to go and be in somebody else's arms. And I literally tell Zach and Julie all the time that if they had gone on a pilgrimage around the world to find someone for them, they would never find someone better, because she gets him, she gets his focus, she gets his frustrations and his challenges. He totally gets hers. I think he really needed somebody that got him and got his life, and vice versa.
So he did Stanford, he graduated, got his degree, and then we're into the draft now. Was this 2013 at this point? He's in the draft and he's chosen in the second round by the Philadelphia Eagles. How was draft day for you though?
So I, we were home. He did not want to be part of anything, you know, like the big crowd. Zachary's a pretty quiet person. You know, also there's a lot of fear in that process, you know, like how's it going to go? And I've told this story a million times. So we kind of thought he might have a chance to go to the 49ers. So he wasn't chosen in the first round. And then second day, I get in the shower. I drink a beer in the shower because I'm so nervous. Like, this day does not go well. Like, oh, dear
How
Lord.
Did you do that, though? The shower's on and you're drinking the beer. Like, how do you know you're not drinking the water and it is the beer and not the water?
Annie, it was definitely the beer. And I was like hiding because I didn't want anyone to know that I had to, you know, I needed like my little liquid comfort before the whole stress of the day started. And it was on early, you know, day two starts, like I think it was 3 o'clock in California. So I go downstairs, Zach's downstairs, two of my other boys are there. My son Shane was in college and then his agent was there, who's like one of his best friends now and one of my best friends, honestly. And his trainer, who's like definitely one of our best friends. So we're sitting around and I'm thinking the 49ers are going to take him. Jim Harbaugh was now then the 49ers head coach and he had, you know, recruited him at Stanford and it makes perfect sense. He gets to stay home, like, you know,
in California.
Be, like, so happy. And I'm going to get it wrong. Zach's going to be like, Mom, why did you get it wrong? But the 34th pick was the 49ers. They trade their pick. And I drag Zachary's agent and his trainer, who are like my little brothers, were so close. I dragged them into the kitchen and I won't say exactly what I said, but there was the F-bomb in the sentence. And I was like, what the F is going to happen now? And I'm like shaking, wishing I'd had like 4 beers in the shower, you know? So literally, as they both look at me like, you know, I think Steve was going to start listing teams that might want a tight end, might need a tight end, might have Zach on the board. The phone rang and it was Chip Kelly. And Zachary had played against Oregon several times at Stanford, November 17th, 2012. They went up to Oregon. My mother had just passed away 5 days before that. And she and Zachary were so close. And I couldn't go to the game because we were doing a funeral and family was there and everything. And I'm watching on TV and Zach catches a touchdown that is ruled not a touchdown on the field. Zachary stands up, hands the ball to the ref super calmly and says, please review it. I was in bounds. They review it and they overturn the call on the field and rule it a touchdown. And that Stanford team kept University of Oregon out of the national championship that year. I don't, do you remember like when the Ducks were like so amazing?
Yeah, I remember. The uniform was awesome and they were fast.
So amazing. Anyway, kind of a crazy thing. And so Chip Kelly called and said, I don't want to play. I don't want you playing on a team playing against us. The crazy thing is I went to college in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
I went to LaSalle University in Germantown. That is insane.
So crazy. And I moved. I met their dad in college. He went to Lehigh. And I moved to California in 1985 to like have a 3-year adventure in California, do like something groovy, like, you know, like play beach volleyball, which I never did, or, you know, ride my bike or whatever. And I stayed in California for 34 years and didn't come back to Philadelphia until 2019.
Wow. More with Lisa in a second. First, I want to say thanks to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We cover a lot of topics on Raising a Pro. Mental health and tackling the challenges life throws at us is a big part of that. BetterHelp is the largest online counseling platform worldwide. If you feel there's something you need to talk to someone about or address an issue in your life, all you need to do is go online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start talking in less than 48 hours.
What's so great is that you can log into your account at any time you need to and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, and you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions for a time that best suits you. If finances are an issue, don't worry. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit BetterHelp.com/wrap. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Go to BetterHelp.com/wrap for more details.
So Philadelphia drafts him, and you must have been like, oh, wow. But, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, you know, full disclosure, I grew up in Philadelphia, Southwest Philadelphia. Philadelphia Eagles fan base is crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. So at that time, you know, Philadelphia had not won the Super Bowl, right? We had, I say we because I grew up in that town, though when I was in high school, I was a Cowboys fan.
You know what, Lisa?
A friend of mine in high school, one of my closest friends, he was a huge Cowboys fan. Also, Eric Williams, who played for the Dallas Cowboys, his brother, George, went to school with me. So, you know, we're just like, and the Cowboys were winning back then. That was like 500 years ago.
I know. I remember those Tom Landry days and Jimmy. Yeah.
So, I mean, so, Philip, but I know how tough a city Philadelphia was. How did you, in your own way, or how was Zach prepared for life as a Philadelphia Eagle?
I don't think he was, honestly. Stanford is a very, it's not the Ohio State when it comes to football. As a matter of fact, his first touchdown caught at the Stanford Stadium, he said to me, he almost didn't key on the ball because the ball is almost super close to the same color as the chairs. And the chairs were empty at the Stanford Stadium when Zach first got there. And it was Andrew Luck and it was Jim Harbaugh and this group of amazing kids that grew the Stanford program into where there wasn't an empty seat. But it was a very different crowd. You know, we tailgated with wine and cheese. We tailgated with flowers. We tailgated with...
Philadelphia Eagles fans do not tailgate with wine and cheese, honey.
No. And so we came here. I mean, I was thrilled. It's a huge football city. So it was super exciting. Obviously, Chip really wanted him here. I got to then get back together and close with my friends from college who I hadn't seen in so many years. You know, I went to California and we saw each other for a couple of years, but then everyone started having families and nobody was flying across the country. My parents lived on the East Coast, but then when my father passed away, my mom came to California. So there really wasn't, you know, and then I went through a divorce and I had like literally didn't even know if I was going to be able to buy butter. I was so poor for years. And
now, you know what, Lisa, and you know, and this is totally up to you, but I just have to ask because I just so admire that courage when you have four small children, you have four boys and you have to decide what's best for you. Right. Because so many times as women, we stay in a marriage for so long. I know I've been there. You know, stay in a marriage that's not working, stay in a marriage that you are slowly dying inside every day, but you're doing it for the kids. What was it that told you, you know what, this is not going to be easy, but it's going to be right?
It remains an excruciating part of my life.
Really?
Yeah. Not being able to, you know, quote unquote, be a family or like, as we said earlier, a normal family. Of course, what is normal?
There's no normal.
If you don't share children, it's just a bad breakup when a marriage ends, I think, you know, but when you share children, it's a lifetime of, you know, stealing yourself to see this person, stealing yourself to not, you know, it's just hard. I mean, I have found it to be really hard and I really wanted to be an anchor for the four of them and for them to look over. And when everything else was kind of, you know, flying out of control for them, whether it was college choices or injury issues or, you know, disappointments in breakups or life, you know, kids are going to go through stuff. I wanted them to be like, okay, I need an anchor. Like, there's my anchor. There she is. And, there was not going to be like any weirdo blended families. There was never going to be me. Like, there just wasn't going to be that. I did what I thought I should do for all four of them, because I'm not a person that necessarily believes that kids are resilient. I think kids are resilient when you support them through trauma, support them and teach them perseverance. And you can't just assume that kids are resilient.
Well, I think that looking at you and from the kind of person I've, you know, observed you becoming, you did good. Zach was able to find a healthy relationship and marriage. So, you know, you can never look back and say, yes, it's disappointing when our hearts are broken. But, you know, but life goes on.
I always think if we talk about it with our friends, our sisters, then we gain so much strength from, you know, and you don't want to say like, I'm a victim. I'm not a victim, but it's going to take a lifetime for me anyway. I will be a person that is where it's fundamental to who I am, what I went through, you know?
Yeah. It's a grieving process.
It's a grieving process. You know, the loss of that dream, the loss of like, I want to dance at my kid's wedding with my husband, or I want to have a 50th anniversary, or I want to, you know, at this rate, I'll be happy if I spend 10 years with someone.
No, you can dance alone. I plan to twerk by myself on that dance floor.
That's right. No, you know, and
if the back holds up, honey, I will be backing that ass up. Okay.
Well, yeah, but Annie, that you're so good at that.
Let's get to this though. We cannot gloss over February 4th, 2018, the Super Bowl. I mean, this is like a first in Philadelphia. How was that moment when you guys won the Super Bowl? But before the Super Bowl, though, Chip Kelly ended up leaving, the Philadelphia Eagles coach. How did Zach, first of all, handle the loss of that relationship when it was over?
He, you know, Doug Peterson is an awesome man. I really don't know him.
Doug Peterson is the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he came in and the locker room. Zachary, as you know, is a believer, and he had a wonderful group of guys. They all banded together. It was a really, really, really special time. And I think Doug Peterson just took over and built this wonderful year of just pure thrill of victory. Like, that thrill of victory was just, you know, and we won, then we won again, and then we won. And then, you know, Zachary had a bad concussion that year, didn't play in the game that in LA that Carson got hurt in, you know, but I haven't told this story too many times, but Nick Foles walked by me while we were all waiting for our families in LA. He was out of the locker room faster than Zach. And he looked at me and he said, I've got this. In just this super calm way. I don't even know if Nick would remember that. You know, when you have a moment with someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is life changing.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
You never forget it. Even if they never remember it.
Right. You never forget it. And I will never forget Nick just being super calm and looking at me and just saying, you know, I've got this. And I was like, oh dear Lord, that is amazing. And I didn't even realize at the time what that was going to go on to mean, you know, that, you know, Carson's injury was devastating. Like, Carson's an amazing young man and, you know, he has to leave and not be part of that. Nick comes in and just brings this Super Bowl victory to this starving for a Super Bowl city. And Zach's a huge part of that game.
Yeah.
It was insane, Annie. And I will tell you, I don't really remember a lot of the game. I was so nervous, happy, but nervous. And
the life of an NFL mom. Trust me. I know. It's a wonder we have hair, you know.
No kidding. Again, it's not a victim story, because obviously seeing your kid live their dream is the most beautiful part of it. But whew, for a mom, and you can't, who are you going to tell that to? You know, who are, like, they're going to, people that don't have NFL players, they're going to be like, oh, really tough life.
They don't understand. And I want to get to an important part, though, you know, to get on the subject of faith, because I know for Zach, that has been such an evolution being part of Philadelphia Eagles. I know for me, all the ups and downs of the last 4 years, what has literally kept me alive, kept me grounded, is my faith. So even dealing with the media, and that's something I want to talk to you about. How was the whole, the media transition? Because before you got to the Super Bowl, it was trying, of course, even now.
Well, I know I'll speak for him first, because I know that his first experience with that really came when there was a controversial play against a play in Cincinnati. And the media, it was a bonanza. Like, I can't think of another word. It was awful. And I wasn't living here at the time. And Julie, I believe, was playing soccer somewhere. And man, I worried so much about him. But I know that it was a pivotal moment in his life where his faith lifted him up completely and got him through the darkest days in the city with the media, with, you know, just with his belief in himself, everything. I mean, I think it's the only thing that I felt was a tangible source of support for him. I have to tell you, Annie, I don't do very well with it. I'm a believer. I pray every day. I was raised Catholic, got away from my Catholic faith, have really dove into Christianity and, you know, the Bible for support and for
sanity.
But honestly, I honestly, I'm not good at it. Listen, this is year 8. If I was going to get better at this, it would have happened already. So I'm just like, yeah, this is who I am. Zachary's agent will say to me, Lisa, don't read Twitter. Don't read the articles. Don't. And I'm like,
I don't. And to, you know, and to really interject, I have learned, and I learned this from, you know, when Eli started, even before he went to Ohio State, right? I always believe that if you don't get caught up in the hype, you don't have to worry about the hate. It's going to be out there. I don't. People are like, oh, do you have Google alerts on your son? I don't. Because anything I need to know about my son, we're so close that I know it.
Right. Right.
Because people have used the media to try to knock us down, to try to say all kinds of things. And I always say, you can't waste your life defending a lie.
Right.
You have to use your life to live the truth. Right. And time will tell your side of the story. And so for me, even though my son from Ohio State to New York, to whatever, I don't retweet anything. I don't read anything about him because nobody can tell me anything about my kid.
There, first of all, it's people that are really doing it to build, like whether they say the wrong thing or they say the right thing, they're going to get clicks or they're going to get, you know, and
oh, so that's, yeah, not clickbait.
You know that's not journalism, as you know. And you know, the other thing is there's a piece of the story, to your point, where you know what's going on and oftentimes they don't, but they're guessing.
Yeah, because they want to throw something out there so you respond to it. I am so skilled, and I tell myself, like, I need to literally get myself an award. I'm so skilled at ignoring the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I am very good at that, and I will give myself credit because you have to. You can't. You'll be like a squirrel running all over the place.
I think it's really hard, and I do say this a lot. We never stop as mothers loving our kids any differently than when we were responsible and, you know, involved in every single thing they did, right? Like when they're fed, when they go to sleep, like who their friends are, where they go. Like, I don't look at him and go, well, good thing I don't love you as much as I did when you were younger, you know, because this would be really hard. It's a matter, you know, to me, like we love them more because we get more time, but they also grow up to be these amazing men. And it's so beautiful to see.
And that's what matters the most.
Love them so much.
That's what matters the most. They, even growing up, you know, even in the house, we never had newspaper. I don't knock parents who do because, hey, whatever works for your family, let it work. I never had like newspaper clippings or different stuff all over the place because I wanted you to realize that those things don't define you. What people say to you don't define you. It's what is God saying about you? That's what's most important. So I'm just glad that, you know, part of his legacy with the Philadelphia Eagles is not just the Super Bowl, but really a sound faith that he was able to develop.
Well, yes, exactly. The other legacy I think that Zach leaves here in Philly is the foundation has been a big—
Yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about this foundation because you guys are doing so much good work.
Thank you. They started it in 2018. Zach, after the Super Bowl, he traveled to Haiti with a bunch of teammates with the Eagles. And it was, you know, just kind of an eye-opening thing. And he called and said, all right, we're ready to start our foundation. Mom, will you run it? And I had worked for two other foundations prior. So, you know, I was ready to do it from a business perspective, as well as, like, you know, I think I've got his best interest at heart as his mom. And we've done a lot of work here in Philly, a lot of work in California. Recently, though, I really believe we have landed on what their future, like what their forever nonprofit, you know, philanthropy looks like. A boy was shot at Frankfort High School in July, a running back, Angelo Walker, God rest his soul. And I reached out to the coach and I just said, I'm Lisa Ertz, I'm Zach's mom. Like, you know, we're devastated to read this. I know you've dealt with a lot of loss with your football team. How can we help you? And literally, Annie, one thing led to another. And I've gotten to know Coach Bill Sitzma, a wonderful man. And he has buried three players from Frankfort High School in 3 years. The rate of violence, gun violence in the city is off the charts right now. It's really terrifying for the kids. And we went out to a camp to kind of see like how we could get the kids out of the projects and into this camp during the summer. And just a lot of stuff was happening. And one of the days that Julie and I were there meeting with a woman who runs a trauma-informed care nonprofit. So we were out there when they announced that the public school league in Philadelphia was not going to get to play this season. And yet,
because of the virus, COVID-19. Yeah.
Right. And at the time, the Catholic School League, as you know, well know as a Philadelphian, which is really prolific here, was going to continue. So we went to work and we joined forces and helped a program called Beyond the Field. And we got the kids out to a field in Kensington called the Lighthouse Field, huge 15 acres in the middle of Kensington, which, as you know, is really, really difficult area. And we get the kids out there. We have space for 150 because we can do 50 kids in each cohort around the field because the field's so big. And they come out and they do drills and skills. And we, you know, we play a little tiny bit of competition at the end, but really, it's to get the kids together. And they come from rival high schools in the city that would never get along this well normally, you know, but it's been beautiful. And then when we got them all signed up, they all said, well, you know, we said, what else do you guys need? And we got a ton of feedback on whether it was food, you know, issues at home, domestic violence at home. They want to go to college. They don't know how. They want to go into the military. They don't know how. Like, ran the gamut of social services that were needed. So we collaborated with, there's 12 partners in this collaboration, and we're renaming it to the Philly Bridge. So it's a, you know, there's a lot of bridge references in the Bible. There's a lot, like, we're a bridge to the kids, we're a bridge to other services, small nonprofits. And then just by the, like, God's hand, a friend connected me to Jerome Bettis's foundation in Pittsburgh. And so we have joined forces, and they're called the Steel Bridge. And what we're trying to do is build these small collaborations in each NFL city to start with the athletes and then find out, okay, what do you need?
You're providing tangible, real help.
Real help immediately. Here, you're hungry? Here's your dial in for this tutor. You know, like, go to Chegg. We get them tutoring. Oh, you don't have a laptop? Here's a laptop. And, you know, we're hoping that players in other cities that maybe have been thinking about what they want to do. You know, I was an athlete in an underserved city, or I want to help the athletes in these underserved cities.
And you know what, Lisa, I just want to tell you, one of the reasons why I admire you so much is what you just said. You call it underserved cities. People say inner city when they say this. It's almost like, oh, it's where you live. No, it's not where you live that's the problem. It's because you're underserved. That is the problem. And you get it. And I appreciate that.
Thank you for saying that, because I don't know if I get it. But what I do is I really, really relate to the moms. I do know that when I hear of a child that is not going to live a long life in Philly, I do say right now, oh, thank God we're at least trying.
Yeah. Exactly. And you can't do everything, but you can do something. And Zach and Julie, as well as you and your foundation, has been huge in Philadelphia. Now we get to free agency, where it's a business, unfortunately, it's a business of the NFL. Tell me, how is free agency going? And what are your plans if Philadelphia is not where Zach ends his NFL career?
One of the hardest questions. So he still actually has 2 years, well, he's into his first of 2 years left. You know, he's been very vocal that he wants to be in Philly, that he wants to wear the jersey forever, doesn't want to switch to blue, you know, or like, you know, doesn't want to leave this city, feels like it's his home, feels like, you know, Julie loves it here. We, you know, he's very invested in the community, the foundation, et cetera. It's a really hard business. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Again, you know, if God gave us crystal balls, I don't even know if we would want it, but I'd like to know if I'm going to ever have a granddaughter. Like my mother-in-law had 9 grandsons and I raised 4 boys and I'm like, darn it, give me some pink. But yeah, I don't know. We hard to leave Philly, but let's say this. It'll never be easy to leave Philly. It'll never be easy to wear another jersey. It'll never be easy to not see Zachary in an Eagles jersey. But you can't feel the true joy unless you feel the struggle.
And you know what? In closing, I have to bring up this quote in an article in 2018 when Zach said, and this is, I'm quoting him right now. I think being on a team like this, there's a lot of believers and guys that have been able to help me along the way. 2 years ago, I was a completely different person. I would go up and down depending on how my football performance was. Whereas now I'm kind of just even keeled. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that my mindset of being this way in my faith has led to probably my best year in the NFL, end quote. And what I love about that is, it's what we all want for, not just our sons, but for our children, our daughters, our grandchildren, is that for you to get to a place in life where it's not about your performance, but it's about your purpose. And when you focus on your purpose over your performance, you maintain your peace. And I think no matter what happens or wherever he goes, perhaps that's what Philly was about. And that's what football was supposed to bring to you. And I think that's what we want for all our sons in this game. For you to realize it's not about the fans or it's not about your performance, but it's about, are you okay with you? So for me, I think that's a win.
No, I'm super emotional. I think that's so right. But I also think it's a process. You know, if you went to a rookie, as you know, and said, this is how it has to be, or this is what you have to find in this. No, that's never going to work. But if they live through it, if they live through the struggle, if they live through the highs and they live through the lows and they live through when they can elevate their teammates or they can be elevated by their teammates or they can be elevated in any way by, you know, the work they're doing or they're giving back into the community or pouring into young athletes or, you know, the word of the day is purpose. And I think that's so right. And, you know, we watch our young men make a difference on the field and we're super proud of them for living their dream or achieving their dream. But really, it's like, who are you as a man?
I truly enjoy Lisa's honesty, vulnerability, and transparency. In this crazy world and uncertain times we find ourselves, knowing and focusing on your purpose is really the key to success and sanity. Also, Lisa remembering being a struggling single mother, not being able to afford butter, continues to fuel her drive to help underserved families in Philadelphia. I applaud her work and commitment. Which leads me to today's Annie's Clapback. For a wealthy country, 1 in 4 children face hunger in America. This is not an accident. We have to stop blaming people for being poor. Keeping people poor is systemic. Poor education in rural and urban America is deliberate. Families need living wage and not minimum wage. Caring for one another and holding our elected officials accountable on the needs of the poor is all our responsibility. Hungry children and families is an indictment on us all. We can't do everything, but we can do something. It takes a village, and guys, we are that village.
As always, thank you so much for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. And if you haven't already, please make sure you rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any new episodes. And if you want to drop me a line or suggest someone you'd like to hear on this series, find me on socials at Raising a Pro. I'll be back next week with another intimate glimpse beyond the gridiron. See you next time, family.